Lawton. And how many's ever been to Medicine Park and went up on Mount Scott? That was our first time to do that. That's just awesome, man. I think we ought to meet up there one Sunday morning for church. It's an awesome ride. So we appreciate our friends taking us there yesterday and on our bikes and had a great time. But we get to enjoy that. We didn't have to worry about any freedoms. And we did have to pay toll twice. But how many knows that part of the price of freedom is paying what to do? So that's okay. How many's got your Bibles this morning? Ready to learn something? I'm excited about bringing the word today. The power of praise is what we're going to talk about today. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have.
I can have what it says I can have.
I can go where it says I can go.
I can go where it says I can go.
I can learn what it says I can learn.
I can learn what it says I can learn.
And I can give what it says I can give.
I can give what it says I can give.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Turn with me to Psalms 150. Psalms 150. How many knows David was a great praiser? And then God looks at David and says, this is a man after my own heart. And I think part of that was that he knew how to touch the heart of God. In fact, I heard a preacher say one time, and it was almost scary to me as a young Christian, because I thought, ooh, be careful what you say about God. But he said, if God ever had a weakness, it would be to receive our praise and to receive the praises of his people. And he said, God doesn't have a weakness, but said God will just, he inhabits the praises of his people. And I thought, you know, it kind of goes along with you and me, doesn't it? How many just really likes to receive a compliment? The rest of you liars can get saved after service. And it's needful once in a while, isn't it? To even get a compliment. You know, you give and you do and you're proud of what you do, hopefully, and some of the things, how many's ever done something you're not proud of what you did, but the things we do and when we contribute to society and we contribute, it just feels good, doesn't it, to say thank you. How many of the vets say today, it just felt good to hear your fellow citizens say thank you for your service. Didn't it feel good? And when Paul was in service, I mean, that's a long time ago. But it still felt good, didn't it, Paul, to recognize, you know, for your service today and risking your life for your country. And for the rest of us to get to enjoy that freedom, I thought it was appropriate and really well done today for all you, Millie, and all the ones that put this on today. It was very appropriate and very timely. Psalms 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. How many knows that's what we've been doing this morning? Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him under the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. How many knows that's what our praisers just did? They came up and praised the Lord this morning. And I appreciate our youth. You know, every second Sunday they lead the praise, and to get up and say we want to connect with you and lead us in something that we're all familiar with, one of our old hymns, I appreciate that. That's growth on you guys' part, wanting to connect and honoring all generations. So they did a great job of doing that this morning. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. And we have some in here that like to praise Him in the dance. You know, you get happy feet when you talk about Jesus. Have you seen the little penguin show? Happy feet. I said, boy, what are you doing? He said, I'm dancing. Why are you dancing? Because I'm happy. He said, well, why's your feet dancing? Because they're happy too. I love that. That was my favorite part in that little movie. And so praise Him in the dance. It's okay. You know, we'll dance at the football games, right, when our football team wins, and we'll dance for this and that. This, I mean, it's okay to just to get up and just express it and dancing before the Lord. In fact, I'll never forget when Jerry Nicely, which is, if you didn't know it, Jerry Nicely's here today. And so, yeah. Her and Olin are one of the people that came over to this place 20 years ago and helped us fulfill this vision. And they've been battling illness and things, but she's here today. It's so good to have her home. But I'll never forget when she came to our out of the hospital. She had had a heart attack, and the doctors thought she was going to die. In fact, the nurse came out crying, and if you're a nurse, don't come out crying. Come out, you know, you do that in your closet or something. But she came out crying, I don't think she's going to make it. And so I'll never forget Wanda Toilette, her, one of her friends, and she grabbed my hand. She said, come on, let's go to the prayer room. We went to the little chapel and prayed, and she's still here. 20-something years later, she's still here by the grace of God. But she said, we went by her house one day, and she said, Pastor, we're coming to your church when we get out of here. Now, Jerry was raised in the Church of Christ, and we're an interdenominational church, so she's welcome to come. All denominations are welcome here, and we don't try to, doctrinize you. As long as it's from here, we're okay. See, some people in our church believe you can fall from grace. Some people believe once you really got it, you're always saved. It's just kind of hard to tell what the thing says here. And so, to be honest with you, I don't think either group knows for positive. But here's what I know. If I'm voting, I'm going to vote for once you got it, you're always in. How about you? That's my vote. We don't get a vote, but if I did, I would vote Baptist on that, wouldn't you? If you wouldn't vote Baptist on that one, you need mental help. And if they're wrong, then they're just wrong, you know, but that's a good... But what I'm saying is, she says, I'm coming to your church. And I said, now, Jerry, I said, our church is a little different. We're interdenominational, and we use musical instruments, because most Church of Christ, or I guess all of them, don't use musical instruments in church. And she said, is that in the Bible? Well, I just read that, didn't I? Praise Him on the instruments. I said, it's in the Bible. And so I said, now, and at the time there were some people here doing, they like to do the Jewish dances, and they taught some of us, and the kids would even get involved, and they said, can we do Jewish dances on a Sunday morning, like for a song special? And I said, well, sure. And so I said, and so we do, there's some people at our church, and they like to do the Jewish dances. She said, is that in the Bible? How many knows? That's a great question. You know, if she asked that question, I said, well, no, but we do it anyway. That might, you know. I said, yeah, it says, praise Him in the dance. And she said, well, then I'm coming to your church. And she's been coming for 20-something years because that was in the Bible. Praise Him in the dance. And so some of you that are more conservative and reserved and things, I know Dennis, he gets happy feet all the time, doesn't he? He just almost at breakout point at any minute when you all play those fast songs. he looks more like Ma and Paul Kettle, you know, the way he does that stuff. But it's a country dance, isn't it? It's whatever you are, that's what you do, you know. So, but praise Him in the dance. It's there, and I think God gets a kick out of that. You know, when I've seen little kids get out in the aisle and just start twirling around and dancing during praise, I think God gets a kick out of that. You know, it's an expression of what you're feeling and sensing in the atmosphere. And all that, and when they're singing about God, it's all the focus is going up to Him. That's praise. That's when we're focusing on Him and lifting Him up and exalting Him. So praise Him with the dance, and praise Him with the clashing cymbals. And that's Tubbs and Rex and them. They just get up there and beat the fire out of those things. And that's biblical. That's biblical. It didn't say hum haw around on the drums. It said, you know, get after it. So let everything that has breath praise the Lord. It says, praise the Lord. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Let me give you a couple of illustrations about praise, because different things call for different kinds of praises, but it all kind of comes together at a head. For instance, don't turn there, but just write it down if you want to. Exodus 15:11 says, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? And so here the definition for praise says to be clear, or to shine, or to make show, or to boast, to be clamorously foolish, or to rave, or to celebrate. When they're talking about God, and so that's the atmosphere that goes on in heaven. You know, they're there and they're shouting, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, day and night. They never rest, speaking to the Lord. And so that this kind of atmosphere goes on as they're praising the Lord. And then another situation in Leviticus 19:24. It says, and it's talking about the harvest and all, and it says, but the fourth year, all of its fruit shall be holy, a praise to the Lord. And that's like a thanksgiving for the harvest that's coming in. It's a different focus. It's on food, but it's on needs that we have. And then in Deuteronomy 10:21, he says, "He is your praise, he is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen." And this definition is the praises is laudation. It's like the hymns that we just sang, the music that we just enjoyed. Where we sing to Him and it's a fine tuning upon who He is. And we do that because it sets a good atmosphere for preaching and receiving the Word. Music's universal, isn't it? You know, when we go to Guatemala, some of the songs that you guys recognize the tune, but we don't know the lyrics, you know, in Spanish. But you can feel that association, you know, that coming together with each other. And that's what we do here on Sunday morning, the laudation. We've given God praise, raising our voices to Him in praise. Now, here's what I want you to get, and here's the heart of the message this morning. That when we're given true praise is this. It's when I look at you, look at God, I look at church, I look at others, I look at a situation, and I give it the best possible light that I can give it. Listen, this is powerful if you get a hold of it. Because I think we don't praise enough. Because what we do is we look at things with a critical eye. How many can tell me what you don't like about things as much as you can tell me what you like about things, see? Don't give us a challenge today. This is we're almost on the brink of 2009. I'm hoping Jesus comes back by the end of the year. Not that I'm not having a good time. I'm just ready to go change, aren't you? You know, where we don't have any threats of anything and no sickness. None of my friends can get sick anymore. None of my family will die off anymore. We'll never grow old. We'll never suffer. Be no more tears. You know, I'm just ready. I'm ready for that change. I'm not in a hurry, but I'm just ready. You know, so I'm looking for Jesus to come. And I hope He does. But here's the thing. It's to focus. Praise is to focus on whatever you're looking at, whatever situation you are, and putting the best light possible on that situation. Let's say if you come to praise one morning and you're up there and it's just not, you know, sometimes I've been in a lot of praise practices. Sometimes it gels, sometimes it don't. For all you that sing, sometimes the musicians, sometimes you guys just hammer it, sometimes you don't. That's just life. Sometimes your family, you could just eat them up. They're so good. Everything, this is my family. When I got married to Jana Moselle, her mother said, "Here's the deal. The first year you want to eat each other up. The second year you wish you had them." That's life, isn't it? That's life. But here's what I've noticed. Whenever I look at something, let's take your spouse for instance. You look at your spouse in the best light possible. Here's what I know. That's looking at them with an attitude of praise. Because there are things about your spouse that you should praise. That's what you did when you were dating before you got married. That's why everything was so gooey, ooey. Yeah. But it wasn't to you two. You know, to you two it was, "Oh, this is Mr. Wright and Mrs. Wright." But that's what you did. You focused on all their strengths and all the good things about them. And that was an atmosphere of praise, really, is what it was. Just giving praise for all the good things that you do and that you are. And I would like to challenge our church to say, you know what, let's be a church of praisers. Let's be a church that says, when I look at something, I want to look at the good in it. That's what Jesus did when He saw me and you. And He said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, He looked at the best possible situation, or He couldn't send His Son to die. When Jesus looked at us, He said, "I could have called the legion of angels, but I didn't." Because He looked at the very best that's in you. He looked at the best in you. How many knows when I look at the best in you and I give you a compliment, the best comes out of you? We were going along on our bike yesterday, and our new bike was so cool. You need one of these. It's got a little cord that runs up here, and we can hear stereo while we're going down the road. And it says, "Hey, did you happen to see the most beautiful girl in the world?" I said, "That's you, honey." She said, "Thank you." You know what that is? Some of you call it sucking up. That's praise. And I felt this on my side. Thank you. See? Because I thought, you know, that's how I feel about her. Now here's what praise is not. Praise is not an illusion. You know, where you're trying to take a terrible situation or, you know, and just speak it into existence that it's and make something good that it's not. That's just an infatuation or something. But and praise is not just the powerful positive speaking. That's not praise, is it? That's good. You know, positive thinking, positive speaking, that's good. But praise goes beyond that, and it says, I can see the good in that, and I will magnify that, and I will focus on that instead of seeing the negative or the bad in a situation. I'll focus on that. I mean, most of us are experts on focusing on what's wrong.
Most of us are experts on focusing what is wrong.
Could y'all hear it that time?
Uh-huh.
You holy people. You holy people. And we start young. You know, we start young. We get a toy. Well, mine don't have this. Well, give me that toy and I'll give it to some other kid. No, it's not that bad. You know, so we start young. But that's the... And I hope you'll get a hold of this, because this is something. Used to, I would get this a lot. Oh, you're just always looking for the positive in things. You're always just trying to find something good to say about something. I used to get that a lot, and I don't get that anymore. And I thought, you know why? It's because I don't do that as much as I used to. And I thought, I want that back. And that's what this message did for me. To say, you know what, there's a lens that I... Last week we talked about two lenses. When it comes to Thanksgiving, remember that? In fact, Adam reminded me of that this week. I like that, but we're talking about the lens of gratitude when you're thankful. The power of thank you last week, when you're thankful for something, that's when you say, you know, man, thank you, Lord, for this day, or thank you for my health, or thank you for my shoes, or thank you for whatever you have, whatever He's surrounded you with. That's the power of thank you. Or we can look through the lens of entitlement, remember? That's what we talked about, the lens of entitlement. And He said, when you said that, I thought, that's who we are. We're a generation that feels like we're entitled. I mean, we even do it in the church. It's hot here. It's cold in here. The music's too loud. I can't hear the music. All we're talking about is what I want and what pleases me. Without giving thought or looking around, when I said hot, I saw Donna Fanning and I see Jan Fanning. And it's okay to fan. It's okay to fan. You're all right. Go ahead and fan. Just say, man, this is a good fan. This bulletin's got multiple purposes. I love this bulletin. You see the difference? Instead of, God, it's hot in here. Yeah. And I'm sure that's what you said in Jan. But I'm just saying, isn't it something how we can come in the house of God and have these kind of battles? Have these kind of things, you know. Anyway, lens of praise. Here's the lens of praise. To see life in its best possible light. In the best possible light. I would like for us to take that challenge and say everything, starting with your job, if you're employed and, you know, not retired, if you're retired, would do the best things about being retired. You know what I love about the best thing? And look at the best of wherever you are. Zig Ziglar said one time, there's a lady had came to one of his conferences, and she wanted to meet right before he went out to speak, and said she was just in tears, and said she was in terrible shape. He said, well, what's wrong? And she just broke down crying. Said, it's my job. I hate my job. I just hate it. And he said, well, what's wrong? Everything's wrong with it. There's nothing right about my job. And he said, well, did they pay you? And she said, well, yeah, they pay me. He said, well, that's one good thing. Let's see how many good things we can find. Does your job pay you? Now, if you're a mother, you get paid. It's just coming, okay? It's coming. But here's what he says. Well, do they have? Is the parking terrible? She said, no, I got my own parking space. Oh, well, there's two right there. Said, do you have vacation time? Said, well, I have vacation time. And she said, well, there's three. Said, well, do they have insurance? Yes, I have insurance. Well, there's four. And he went down a list and about 15 things that was good about her job that she hated. He said, that sounds like a good job to me. And said, it turned her around in her whole way of thinking about what she had had. I mean, you know, sometimes, you ever felt that way when you go in your job and no one appreciates me and this is a lousy job instead of thanking God for what you have? And here's what I believe. When we praise God for what we have, He will give us more. Let me bring it home. Whenever somebody, you give somebody something, they're so grateful for it, doesn't that make you want to bless them more? What about when you give somebody something, you say, what is this? Power of praise. It's seeing whatever you're looking at in the best possible light. Are you a praiser? Or here's the other lens. If you don't have the power of praise, the lens of praise looking in the best possible light, maybe it's the lens of criticism. Like the lady that had the job she hated because she had just started thinking how bad it was at work. The lens of criticism, I can, you know, most of us can spot a problem, can't we? About that fast. And so be careful with what we're doing. I found in my studies when I was going through the scripture where David had appointed, get this, musicians, you think we see some choirs today? He had appointed 4,000 musicians to lead praise. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen 4,000 people playing instruments at one time. Not only if they did it all at once or if they were just around the clock, but he said 4,000 people to praise the Lord on their instruments. How many knows David knew how important it was to set the atmosphere? 4,000, that was their job. To play on the cymbals, to play on the harp, to blow the flutes, 4,000. And so here's how I give this to you, musicians. If you take your instrument and you bring it before God and you play it for God, that's praise. To lift Him up, that's praise. Now you can just beat on it and play it and mess around with it and it's not. But you can take that and you can offer up praise to God through your talents. Just giving them back to God. Now what if you don't play an instrument? Well, he said, you know what? If you don't play an instrument, then you can bless Him with your mouth. Psalms 109:30. I greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yes, I will praise Him among the multitudes. How many of you a while ago, you weren't playing an instrument, but you blessed God with your mouth a while ago and you sang along with our praisers. Making a joyful noise unto the Lord. There you go. So you can just think about His amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet sound. Saved a wretch like me. And just offer up that praise. Do that. How many offer up praise in the shower? There's something about powerful about water, isn't there? Just, you know. Turn with me to Matthew 25. I want to show you something. Here's the power of praise. And it's demonstrated in a visual picture I want to show you this morning. The power of praise. I believe that every person, every individual on the planet has a gift, or maybe more, several gifts. And this is what this story is about. But it shows you the power of praise, and it shows us, you know, what you're focused on and how you see that. If you see it in the best light possible, the results are just different. Listen, it's kind of like the old saying that one guy is giving up. He's on, you know, it's a job, it's a career, whatever it is, and he's stepping out of the ring and he's saying, I just can't do this anymore. It's too hard. And said, somebody else looks at that vacancy and looks at that man stepping out and steps into the ring and steps into that job and said, this is my greatest opportunity. Which one are you more like? The one that's about to step out? Or the one that's stepping in and saying, this is my greatest opportunity. always, anything I ever did, I like to learn. Whatever job it was, and I've taken a lot of menial tasks and jobs. When I started this church, I went out to Love Box, and they build boxes, cardboard boxes. They call it corrugated boxes. You didn't call it cardboard out there. You call it corrugated. But I like to just learn. And if I would have stayed there, I would have learned all I could about a machine, and I would have been the head machinist on that machine. I would. Because whatever I do, I like to learn. Are you like me? You just like to learn? And if you're there very long, you're going to be doing whatever it is that you can do to your fullest? That's just me. That's just what I like to do. I like to learn about it, whatever I'm doing, and just learn all I can. And then after a while, I'm like, can I do that? Can I try that? I think I'm ready.
Amen.
Because God has given me eyes to see that I think I can. How many think I can? We got in the house. I think I can. How many just ever fail when you thought you could? Yeah. We all do. That's one of the downfalls of thinking you can is when you don't. But how many knows it's okay because you're still looking for the best. You're looking for the best in you and you're looking for the best in that to reach your full potential. That's praising the God. I love it when my kids try, even if they fail. My grandkids, if they try, even if they fail. And we make life a game about everything we do. When we eat donuts, guess who came in last today? They always know who comes in first and last. Just a little competitive things we did. I came in last today. I built character today. When they asked me, you came in last. What'd you do that for? Because I only had one donut. And they said, I said, because I'm building character today. I wanted to be last. And they're like, what is that? But I just wanted all of them to win today. You know, just the power of praise is saying, let's focus on the best in you. How many knows I can focus on the best in you or the worst in you, and I could probably be correct on either one. You could do the same for me and be correct on either one. How many knows there's just more power if you focus on what's right about me than what's wrong about me? Well, I think we'll find something. You talking about me or you? No, we might not if it's me. No. What if you don't? Well, that's a teenager, isn't it? Life will teach her, won't it? You're not a teenager anymore. That's right. She's 20. That's right. Yeah. But and here's a good answer to your question. What if you don't have anything wrong with you? You just don't know yet. Ask someone. They'll tell you. How many of Ashley's friends could tell her if she really wanted to know? Come on, let me see. No. Yeah. We're just having fun with you. What's this? Here's the power of praise. Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven, and this is a little statement he gives us to say, here's what, this is a kingdom principle, okay? The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country and who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. I mean, when God came and put us on this planet, he gave us, these are all his goods. The trees belong to him, the plants belong to him, the air belongs to him. In fact, he said, this is really my footstool, is how he refers to the earth. So if you want to know how big God is, this is his footstool. That means I can't wait to see the sofa. How about you? Who called his own servants to deliver to him his goods? And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. Now it's really important that you get that, his own ability. He didn't give him anything he couldn't handle. How many knows God's smarter than you are? And if he give you a talent, he knows you can use it. If God's given you a talent and people recognize it in you and you refuse to use it, you're probably just cheating yourself and God out of your gift. Well, I'm bashful, or I don't feel like I can. Well, get over yourself. That's my mercy gift coming out there, isn't it? I got a 2 in mercy when I scored the mercy. But he gave it according to his own ability. His own ability. So God has placed gifts in you, and so you need to stand up and use them and praise him with it. Look at that gift in the best light and say, I can do all things through Christ. I can glorify my Maker with this gift. And just be active in the kingdom. Be active in the kingdom. To another one he gave five, verse 16. And then he who had received the five talents went and traded with them and made another five talents. See, he traded and it's exactly what he had given him is what he gained. Another five talents. Likewise, he who had received two gained two more also. So he knows exactly what you need and what he's given you and what your abilities are. And so just step out in faith and use them and give him praise in what he's created you to do. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Everybody knows digging in the ground's hard work. He's still working. He still have to put out effort. He's just not using it for what God gave him. You know what? Here's what I found. People that go out and they'll just dig a hard row in life and they're still working hard. They're just digging down the wrong row. It's hard work. It's hard work serving Jesus sometime, isn't it? Somebody cuts you off the line and you got to love them. Let me know, that's hard for me. Somebody gripes about something, they don't want to do anything about it. They just want to gripe. That's hard for me. Because my mercy gifts doesn't come out there, and I just want to tell them. Yeah, I've had blood running down my mouth. It will bite my tongue before. It's hard for me. Digging in the ground's hard work. But he gave him a talent, and he said, this is what I want you to use. And instead of using it, he goes out and does hard work to avoid using his talent, which would have brought praise and glory to God and blessing to him. Are you hearing me? Use what you have. Man, and if you say, well, I only got one. Well, hallelujah. You don't have to divide your time like some people's got five talents. Here's what I know, though. If you got five talents, God gave to you five talents because your little brain just works like this. My wife, that's her brain. She gets bored really easy. She's fast. I mean, she is. She's, you know, if it's not moving, you can see her start twitching like... You better say something or do something. It better be interesting or holding her attention. I mean, like my wife. Yeah. And if it's not, and that's why he gave some of you five talents, because you have the capacity to interpret and divide and work and do all that. And then he gave some of us one. Because he knew it would take us a long time to get it, and if we got focused on anything else, we'd be lost. So some of us he gave one talent. But it's okay. It's okay. It's just as important. So, verse 20, so he who had received five talents came and bought five others, traded, saying, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I've gained five more talents besides them. Can you kind of hear his excitement in that? Man, you give me some five talents and I've traded it and I've got five more to offer you. There's a pride in that, isn't there? That he's done what he's been asked to do. He's been using his talents and he's excited about it. He's really given praise back to the master that's entrusted him with these talents. Went and traded. He's excited about it. Used what he's been given for God. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You notice he got a compliment back. He complimented his master in using his gifts. He gets a compliment back. You know when you use your gift, you get a compliment back from God? Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Then he says, he also had received two talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. You notice whether the guy had five or two, he just called it his Lord in his capacity. That's just a few things. That might have been all that those servants could handle was one or two or five talents. But according to his master, you've been faithful over a few things. See, God gives you something and we think it's a huge deal. And it is to us. But it's not a big deal to God. He's got servants all over the planet using the same talent as you're using. But he joins in with him and says, I'll make you even more. I'll make you even more. Verse 24, then he had received the one talent, came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. Now, here's what I want you to remember. They're all talking about the same guy. They're all looking at the same master. I see this all the time in the kingdom. Somebody's looking at the master and saying, oh, I just give him praise and glory. He's so awesome. And then I look at somebody else in the kingdom and they say, you know what? I've prayed and prayed and he didn't answer my prayer. Same God. We're talking about the same God, same Jesus. But it's the attitude that's coming from our heart. Are you looking through a lens of praise or a lens of criticism? How many knows? People that fall away from Jesus, they're falling away from the same Jesus that we serve and exalt and bless and uplift. Church, it's really important how you see what you're looking at. Looking through the eyes of praise says, I'm going to pick the best out of that individual, out of that situation, and I'm going to give God the glory. Because how many knows, everything on this planet God has made and created, including you and me. The people we want to criticize, just let us remind ourselves that God created them. In His own image. In His own image. Every person that we've ever criticized, God made them and He's proud of them and He loves them and they're in His own image He created them. So we ought to say, you know what? If that's God's creation, then I will give Him praise for that. And I will exalt that and I will be an encouragement to whatever situation or whatever individual, whoever that may be. It's the eyes of praise. But He looks at him and I knew you to be a hard man. Huh? A hard man. Reaping where you've not sown, gathering where you've not scattered. He's looking in a totally different light at the same man. If we had a survey today and we could just pass it out in this congregation, guess what? God would be, He would look totally different from one end of the spectrum to the other. When we put a survey and we say, what do you believe about prayer? Do you believe God answers prayer? What about God blessing you financially? Do you believe God blesses financially? What about spiritually? Do you feel like there's spiritual battles to fight? You know, all these things are questions about life and we'd get a totally different picture of God, wouldn't we? Because you're seeing God through your eyes. I had one of my pastor friends the other day, he said, he's a Free Methodist pastor, he said, I wish everybody spoke in tongues. I said, well, Bob, what do you wish that for? Because I believe everybody needs to experience what I experience. It's just wonderful. I said, well, how about let's just say what the Bible says. The Bible says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. And let people do what God's called them to do. He said, well, Paul said that I wish everyone would speak in tongues. I said, he also said, I wish that all were single like me. You're married. Yeah. That's what the Bible said, isn't it? That's what Paul said. You that have a wife, you're going to be concerned about the things that the wife wants. You think they give these red hats away? Cost money, don't they, Cliff? That's right. I'm just saying, we need to broaden our view and say, you know what? I just want you to be all that God has called you to be, and I want you to be all that God says that you're supposed to be, and I'm going to look at you in the best light possible to say, God, make Keisha the best that you can make her. And thank you for her gifts. Say, instead of everybody needs to be like me. I wish they could all be, you know... This guy's got a distorted view of a good man. And this is what happens when we don't look with eyes of praise, whether it's our class or our work or our community, whatever it is, when we don't look at life with the best light possible, we're going to have distorted thinking because we're now looking through eyes of criticism and eyes of discouragement, whatever it may be, but it's not eyes of praise. And how many knows, who was it saying, was it Kisha saying you put on the garment of praise? So you got to put it on, just like you put on your clothes this morning. You got to put it on, because eyes of praise don't come naturally. Eyes of criticism, yes, because that's got the old sin nature that's operating inside of us. Eyes of praise does not come natural. You got to get up and put it on. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. See, that's a put on. That's what you got to put on. Get get up and put a good attitude on, attitude of praise on. This guy doesn't do that. He's saying what he believes that this guy is, and the sad fact is, what he believes he is, that's what he becomes. You know, what you believe life is to you, that's what it will become. That's a fact. What you believe life is to you, that's what it will become. I read a story about the power of focus. Lady said she was divorced. She had, I think it's 2 daughters, and life was going nowhere for her. Guess what she did? You might want to do this. Said she got her a picture album, and she put some pictures of some men, good-looking guys that she wanted a husband like that looked like that. And then she said, you know, there'd never been a VP in her company before that was a woman. And so she put all these pictures of successful women and said, this is me, I'm going to be a VP in our company. And then when she says, and then I want my honeymoon to my new man, I want to go to this one of these islands here. And she put a big picture of islands all in there that she wanted to visit. Said in 8 weeks the process started. She's sitting at a light and a man pulled up beside her and goes, oh, looks at her. Goes to the next light. There he is looking. She says, I was kind of excited. And then he kept going to the light. And then he goes to the light. And she looked. 15 miles later, he's still with her. They pulled over and said he got out. And he said he introduced himself. Said it's kind of scary. And said 2 years later, I married him. And said, guess where he wanted to go for a honeymoon? A nice island in the Caribbean. She wanted her daughters to graduate college. Said she went and she put pictures of college graduates on there. And said both her daughters graduated college. You know what else? She wanted to be the VP. Guess what she became? VP. First woman VP. I'm just saying, we need to see the potential, and we need to see with eyes of praise that it's better. Because if we don't, we can criticize. She could have just said, well, they just don't promote women here. Couldn't she? I never forget counseling with a woman that came to our church one time. She said, they just don't give promotions where I work. Listen, if they don't give promotions where you work, change work. Don't work there anymore. Well, I've got to eat. Well, get a better attitude and go find you another job while you're still working there. Isn't that brilliant? See? Because here's what I know. If you're looking through the eyes of criticism, you're always going to have excuses of why you can't be what you feel like life owes you or what you were created to be. But you can if you'll get on eyes of praise and look at everything in the best light. Just make an effort to start doing that. Say, I'm going to look at this guy, and then we'll close. He says, verse 25, I was afraid. See, I knew he's a hard man, and now he's telling the truth. I was afraid. And went and hid your talents in the ground. And look, here you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered. You ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, that my coming I would receive back my own with interest. You know what he's saying? Just make an effort. Don't do it your way. Let me ask you something. What do you think would be less effort? Going out and digging a hole in the ground and hiding the money, or walking down to the bank and depositing the money? I know which one's dirtier. He said, if you would have just made effort, you would have seen blessing. Listen, church, that's all he's saying to us this morning. Eyes of Praise says, I will make effort to see the best in whatever I'm looking at. I'm telling you, that's powerful if you get a hold of it. It'll change your day. It'll change your week. It'll change your year to say, from now on, I'm looking at whatever I'm looking at in the best possible light. Some of you moms that are frustrated with your children, stop and look at them in the best light. Imagine them being different and being better. Some of you that got in-laws that you call them outlaws, stop. And begin to give God praise for them. For bringing your mate into this world. For you that's having relational problems, stop. With your spouse, just stop. And begin to give praise. I'm telling you, it works. Because there's just something about the power of praise. Praising God for where you are. Some of you students in college, just stop saying how hard it is and saying what blessings are coming. That's the eyes of praise. That's why you're doing this stuff. You know? Whatever you're doing that you're struggling with, just stop and begin to give God praise. Give God praise that I'm coming through. Give God praise because He's going to give me power to endure. Give God praise because He's there and He'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll always be with you, even to the end, He said. So give Him praise right where you are. Right where you are. Begin to give Him praise and watch your situation change. And if you don't, you can be like this guy. I mean, how many, if we'd never read the story about the guy with the one talent, how many would just went away saying, this is a good man? To not only reward him, but say, enter into my joy. You're in. Come on into my world and see the real blessings. What I can give you that you can't even fathom. All you've been given, it's a few things. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you something now. You'd say, man, that's a good fella, isn't it? And that's who he really is. But because this guy went and hid his talent, you know, he's his master. He's not just a friend. He's his master. He had the right. How many knows Jesus is your maker? He has the right to require things from me and you, and one of them's praise. Yes. Yes. Give him praise and glory, it says. He has the right to demand praise. Anybody that give his son for me or you, they deserve all the praise they can get. Give him praise, he said. So he says, you know, take the talent from him. And here's the thing. Whatever, just like this man, take the talent from him, give it to him who has 10 talents. Don't miss out on your blessing. Don't let the devil come and rob you of your blessing because you're looking through critical eyes. Look through the eyes of praise and say, you know what? This is not a good situation, or I'm afraid, but you know what? God has given me some talents. God has blessed me with some things, and I'm going to use them for the glory of God, and I'm going to give Him praise, and I'm going to praise God for my job, and for my spouse, and for my health, and for my car, and for my shoes, and for my whatever it is. I'm going to praise. I'm going to be a praiser. And as I praise God, I'm going to be just like gentleman number one and gentleman number two. I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to enter into the joy of my master. This is the kingdom of heaven is as this story. Kingdom principles. Kingdom principles. So my challenge to you today, church, is this. Would you just say, I'm going to be a praiser? You know, the news said it's bad and it's going to get worse. Well, just tell the news, guess what? It's not getting worse for me, it's getting better. Because I'm going to give Him all the praise and He's going to meet all my needs according to His riches and glory, not according to America's riches and glory. We got a new president, did you know that? Obama. But how many knows the true president hadn't changed thrones? He's still on the throne. Yeah. How many knows John McCain and President-elect Obama are men? That's all. They're men. We serve a supernatural God that can supply when everything else is depleted. He can supply your needs according to His riches and glory. Give Him praise. Give Him praise for our new president, for our new Congress, for our new whomever. Just give Him praise and say, God, I'll bless them and ask You to use them and bless Him every time you say $1.87 gas. Every time. And then when it goes back to $4, to say, bless the Lord, I can remember when it was $1.87. Hallelujah. But the good news is, I'm still filling my tank in Jesus' name. $10 a gallon. I'm still filling my tank in Jesus. I still got enough for a half a tank. Praise God. And look through eyes of praise. And see if it'll not turn your life around. It will. There's power in praise. Let's be a church of praise. Let's give people hope when they come into our church. And let them hear something of praise every day, every week, every Wednesday, every Sunday about Jesus and about where we're at, about what God's doing in our lives. Will you go with me? Let's do that for the cause of Christ. Father, we thank You today for encouraging us to praise the Lord. To just praise the Lord. Father, we thank You that You have placed stories in the Word where Your people would pray and great armies would come against them. And through the power of praise, You would wipe out entire armies just because they said, God, this is a bad situation, but I'm going to give you praise and glory and honor. And you'd wipe out entire armies, that it would take 3 or 4 days to even gather the loot from the defeated army. That's the God we serve. There's power in praise. God, and there's weakness, and there's darkness, and there's discouragement when we begin to criticize. It drains us, it drains people around us, it saddens your heart. So God, today, make us praisers. That we can be like Jesus and look at the good in desperate people. Look at the good in desperate situations. Say, I will give Him praise. And I will stand and do what I can do. And I will use my talents. And I will be all that I can be. And in just a little while, Lord, we'll hear You say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make You ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Help us to do that. This is Thanksgiving time, Lord. So help us to get up every day and count our blessings and be thankful and give praise to You. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for Your glory. Amen. While Christians are praying, heads are bowed, if you're here today, and you say, you know, Pastor, I need this message today and I need this going into the holidays, and I really want you to pray over me. I want you to pray that I will become more of a praiser. Let me see your hand right now. I want to say a prayer over you. Thank you very much. All over the building. Father, for all those that have their hands raised right now to be praisers, they say, I want to be more of a praiser this season. I ask You, Holy Spirit, to come and anoint them and bless them and give them supernatural powers and a different lens to look through and grant their request, Lord. By raising their hands, they said that, yes, I want to be that. And so, Holy Spirit, come and help them and forgive them right now the way You've forgiven me, Lord, as I put this study together. Forgive us, Lord, of being critical. And today is a new day in our life. Today we will give You praise and glory and honor. And all we do and all we see and all we go through, we will look for the good and we'll look for the Holy Spirit and look for the blessings and the power. And we will look to glorify You in Jesus' name. Amen.